Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all the time, God is good. I'm thankful to be back home and to be with the family I love. They're coming from Stuttgart, Arkansas, a great, successful gospel meeting. Many were saved, many restored to the Lord. I'm thankful God used me as his earthen vessel. No greater work you can do than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Something I find near and dear in my heart and where I find my most joy is when I'm in the pulpit preaching on behalf of God, his only begotten Son, who gave his life on Calvary's hill and shed his blood that will wash our sins away. And that same blood purchased his church, his bride. And I'm glad after they buried him that he resurrected with power. He said, go into all the world. And the command was to preach this good news of the gospel. And preaching the gospel, you preach him hanging on a cross. And let the world see him hanging and suffering. And it would touch the hearts of mankind. And they would respond, men and brethren, what must we do? And the reply would be, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. Brother Pope is going to be moving on to preach in St. Augustine, Arkansas. I'm in St. Augustine, Texas, rather. Yeah, I got Arkansas on my mind. And that's our job, is to develop the men and preach them, send them home, send them out somewhere. Amen. This pulpit, you can't have this one. You can go somewhere else. Yeah. We've sent a lot of men out through our program, Holland Heights. And we should have, be grateful because all the men that we've sent are yet standing with the old path.
That's
right. They're following the pattern of the New Testament. And that's where men should be taught by preachers, not in schools necessarily. But they should sit at the feet of a preacher who's sound. Amen. Yeah, we go to college to get a degree so we can get a job. You preach to save souls. That's what you preach for. And so we're thankful that he's taken on that challenge for 90 days. And hopefully he will make a final decision whether it'll be permanent or not. But let's give him Godspeed and his wife, his lovely wife, with him and his children. We pray our blessings are on you. You represent Holland Heights. So I tell Holland preachers, you got my name on your back. Amen. So don't mess it up. I can do a good enough job messing my own name up. I don't need you helping me. This morning, I talked a lot over the last few months about suffering and things of that nature. And I want to turn the conversation to more of a hope. We have hope, you know, and sometimes we lose sight of the hope. And that's what I want to do today. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, this book written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. And the sermon title, the Lord's compassion fails not.
Amen.
How many of you look around the world now and it makes you want to cry to see all the evil going on, and all you can say is, Lord, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, time we look at the sins of the world and you see homosexuality running rampant and men kissing each other on TV, our children are seeing this all in the commercials. You can see it now. They're making it as if it's supposed to be accepted. Amen. Not only homosexuality, a lot of sins all through the world. We're seeing everywhere. When you look to the news on, you see nothing but sin, and you see the world is just getting worse. I often reminded what my father and mother would often say, that the world is worse now than it was when I was growing up. And I can make that same statement to my children now. The world is worse that you're living in than I was when it was when I was growing up. But how many of you look around, sometimes you look at your own sad condition, things you've got yourself into, your own situation, bad choices, bad decisions, wrong direction, You're going backwards. Sometimes you think you're doing good. You see yourself going, you take one step forward and three backwards. And all you can say is, Lord, have mercy. How many times you've got yourself in a mess? You say, how did I get here? How did this even happen to me? Where did I go wrong in life? And all you can look at your life situation, all you can say is, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. How many times have you looked at the condition of your own family? Children you raised to be God-fearing and to be faithful in worship. And it turns out they leave every principle of ethics and ethical living that you taught them. And you look at it, where did I go wrong? Why my child? Why is the situation such as where you didn't come out of a dysfunctional family, but yet you're involved in dysfunctions? And you wonder, where did I go wrong? And all you can look at and say is, Lord, have mercy. I think y'all getting the ring in the ear, aren't you? Is that when you look at life, and sometimes life seems to punish. Seems like pain is in every direction, and it punishes you. When you want to do good, there's some punishment. When you try to do good, there's punishment. When you think you're doing good, seems like there's some punishment in the situation. And then all you can say is, Lord, have mercy. How many times have you looked at a situation where you say, you know, is there any hope in this situation? Is there any hope for me to recover, to regain, to bounce back? Is there any hope for me for my health to return back to normal? Is there any help, any hope for me for my financials to return back to a normal state? Is there any hope for me where my marriage is going to be better? Is there any hope for me that I'm going to get through this deep grief? Or is there any hope for me that I'm going to be a better person in life? I'm going to be a better mother? Is there hope to be a better man? Is there a hope to be a better husband? Is there a hope for me to be a better child to my mama? Is there a hope? And then sometimes I just say, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy, Lord.
Mercy,
have mercy on me. But maybe we're just lamenting. Maybe we're lamenting. I want to suggest that there's in seasons in life where lamenting is required. That you have to lament. Lamenting means to express sorrow or regret deeply. Sometimes life will present you regrets. Like, I wish I could go back and undo what I done. Life will send you this situation where you regret and you are grieving over a decision that you made or act that you didn't complete or something you should have did and something you can't correct and something you can't undo. But you see it like that and then you express sorrow. Regret, and I wish I could just do it all over again. I wouldn't do it again the same way. You said, Reverend, what am I doing? You were lamenting when you, in this book, Jeremiah was doing just that. If you allow me, I'll just walk you through up to chapter one, Jeremiah being the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 9:1 says, he says, oh, that my head with waters and my eyes are fountains of tears. He was called a weeping prophet. He said that I might weep day and night for the slain, the daughter of my people. In chapter one of Lamentations, he weeps over the destruction of Jerusalem. He's expressing deep sorrow for her sins, for her suffering, and for the speech of the people. And, you know, we lament today over America. When you look at America, if you look at the political realm, you can't help but. It's sins on all sides, y'all. Ain't no one-on-one. It's sin is the problem from the White House to the bottom of the world. It's sin. You can't help but weep over America. You can't help but weep over the world when you look at the world. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. In chapter 2, he weeps over the Lord's wrath against that great city, the great city of Jerusalem. He looks at her agony. He looks at the temple. He looks at the people. When you look at a religion today, you can't help but lament. Listen to the TV evangelists painting all this false doctrine. Listen to the churches who call themselves believers in Christ, and they believe in everything that Christ didn't teach. How can you not lament? How can we not lament over the Church of Christ, and we see many of our brethren are leaving the basic truths of the principles of salvation? We no longer believe in the cross as God's power to save. We believe in things such as singing and emotionalism to draw the people to God. And I say it's time to lament. Amen. We should lament when God gave us the simple plan to preach the gospel. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. And all we got to do is go back to lifting him up on the cross. In chapter 3, he weeps. Jeremiah becomes personal in chapter 3. And that's where I want us to be at today. He paints a picture for us there. And in his personal, of his personal life, in his personal life and his suffering and the things that he's going through. And then he gives us hope. That's what I want to focus on. But to have hope, you got to see some things. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible says there, Romans chapter 5, and the verses number 1. I want you to listen carefully to what life will present you when you get experiences. You have experiences in life that some things that we go through will be first time events, first time experiences, and it's there for a reason. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, listen to the Bible as it talks to us today. And remember, don't go down on me because we will paint a grim picture up front. But in the end, there's hope. Amen. And the Bible says in Romans 5, 1, being then justified by faith.
We have peace
with
God.
We have peace with God.
Through our Lord.
Jesus Christ. Read.
By whom also.
We have access.
By faith.
Into this grace.
Wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope.
And rejoice in
of
what?
The glory in hope.
You hear what he said? He said, we rejoice even though there are tribulations. There are painful events that will squeeze. Troubles will come in life. These are the pains of life. But he says it's in glory that we glory in hope. But why is that? Notice what he says.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations
during
also.
During the pain, if my perspective is right, I can glory through the pain. I can glory through the pains of life. Then he says what?
Knowing that tribulation.
Here's why. These tribulations are intended to help us as people to bring us closer to God. Knowing tribulation, work it.
Patience.
We're going to see Jeremiah said, I had to wait on God. He said, during the pain, when the pain came, I had to wait on God. So my patience was developed through the pain, through the tribulation God allowed in my life. Read.
And patience.
And from that patience,
experience.
It became an experience. And every one of us can share our own experiences. But God didn't let us go through no things. We would never have an experience. But once I wait on God, once the pain comes, once the situation is presented by God, then I have to wait on God to deliver me. And when God delivered me, I got experience. And when I get experience, he says.
And experience. Hope.
Amen. See, hope don't come before the experience. Hope comes as you develop, as you deliver it out of the experience. Y'all ain't with me, are you? You with me? Because you can't share an experience until you've gone through it. Amen. Every one of us got a story to tell in the denomination world. They say it's your testimony. And they use testimonials to bring people to God. But I want to tell you this. We use testimony to bring glory to God. That's what we do. We use the cross to bring them to him.
That's right.
So here it is. In chapter 4, he clarifies a desperate situation. In chapter 5, he pleads with the Lord to remember the people. So as Jeremiah did, Jeremiah lamented over Jerusalem, and we lament today over the conditions of the world. We lament over the wrongs of the people. We lament over God for those who forsake the right way, the way of God. We lament, like Jeremiah, over our own personal decisions and our personal experiences in life, and we lament oftentimes because we don't understand why. Listen carefully. All of us, like Jeremiah, have to find hope in the Lord.
Amen.
Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our hope is in God, but God has to humble us. God has to allow trials to come, allow tribulations to come. And then when our soul is humbled, then there's hope. Listen to Lamentation 3. Verse 1, let's just walk down through the verses here. I'll give you this in your application, and it'll be yours. He said, I am
the man that had seen affliction.
Now, Jeremiah is going to describe a grim picture of his life. He says, I am the man that seen afflictions
by the rod of his wrath.
All the things, understand this, things can't happen in our life, will happen in our life because God allowed it. Verse number 2, he said, He led me. He led me and brought me into
darkness,
dark place.
But not into light.
Jeremiah is in a place where he don't see no way out. No light. It's all darkness. Have you ever been there? Then he says,
Surely against me is he turned.
You start thinking, God, something so much going on in my life. God must be against me. Surely he's against me. He's turned his hand against me all my flesh and my skin. He made whole and broken my bones. He's saying, God, why are you doing this to me? He has built against me and passed me with gall. He's saying, God is sending Jeremiah travail, painful experiences, painful discipline, and he feels this deep down in his bone. God can deliver us in a way. He can discipline us in a way where we feel hedged and locked into pain. We're locked into it. You can't get out by yourself. You don't know how to do it by yourself. You seem locked in. He said he has set me in dark places. And as there be dead of old. He has hedged me, see that? And that I cannot get out. He has made my chains heavy. Burden down, Lord. When I lay my burden down. We going home to be with our Lord when we lay these heavy chains of life down. Mm-hmm. He said it's heavy. I've been there. Life can be heavy, man. Yeah. How you carrying along the pressures of life that are presented through life situations that come upon us. It makes you feel sometimes less than a man. Less than and worthy of it, or you feel incapable, or it diminishes you to something that you're nothing, as if you are nothing when you are something, because you just pulling on some heavy chains. You carrying some heavy chains. I know your help is a chain. Raising a family is heavy chains. Trying to get out of a situation you got yourself into. They're heavy burdens, man. Those are chains. Damn, chains of life. They're painful. Discipline seems that God is doing. And Jeremiah says, when I cry.
And shout.
This is something. He said, when I'm praying to God. When I cry and shout. He don't listen. He shuts out my prayers. It seems like God is not listening to you. And there are occasions when it's because of sin. It's sin that separated you from God. Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord's hand is not short that he can't save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities, doing things your way, putting God on the back burner, not putting him first, not being true to worship, to singing, to praying, to giving, and to communion and weekly worship of God. You have developed a law to get to heaven by your own means. And therefore, Isaiah says, your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And Jeremiah expressing that. He says, I find myself praying and it doesn't seem like God is responding. He had enclosed my ways and hewn stone. He had made my path crooked. He get to a point where he feel blocked and the path in life is so crooked and messed up. Man, if you look backwards, if we just look backwards, you know, if we just look in there and never look forward, look down our rear view, all of us would see nothing but crooked paths. All of us done messed up. Man, all of us done messed up bad from a child, man. We've been messing up all of our life. If you look in the back, yeah, you'll look at some whole lot of crooked roads that you travel.
That's right.
There he was. But he said, I can't go back and straighten them up. You can't straighten them up, though. And then he says, he was unto me as a bear lying
in wait.
Like he said, like God is saying, I'm waiting on you to mess up. And I'm going to shoot you some pain. And as a lion
in secret
places. Then he's just saying, this stuff is going through my mind. And then he says, he had turned aside my ways and pulled me into pieces.
He made me desolate.
He feel attacked by the Lord like a bear, like a bear and a lion who waited on him to come down the dark trail. And they grabbed them and tore them in pieces. He said, that's how I feel right now. What's going on with Jeremiah? Jeremiah is lamenting. He's expressing deep sorrow. But godly sorrow is what works in repentance. You realize that, don't you?
Right.
It is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter. Laughter. Do y'all not know? Sorrow is better than laughter. That's what God is saying. So why do God put us in a state of lamenting? Because the state of sorrow makes you realize you just dirt. And know who your creator is. And it's in the creator that we have hope. But when hope is in me, there's no hope. That's where it fails. Notice this. Look at this. You can see this. Watch, he says, he had bent his bow
and set me as a mark for the arrow.
Called the arrows of his quiver into my range. It's like what Jeremiah is saying, like God did this. Poke. Kyrie. Somebody say, don't point. Person, you already been shot. Yeah. Let's send you some death. Your child. Bankruptcy. Failed marriage. Divorce. Y'all get it? Remember this. Gotcha.
That's right.
Now make the personal application. Because the bow has been pulled. But boy, shouldn't we say, Lord, don't let the arrow fly. when he don't let the arrow fly, you can say, my Lord is compassionate. You feel like God locked in on him. Who here today feel like God done locked in on you? He done locked in on you, your family, your kids. He done locked in on your home. He done locked in on your life. He done locked in and aiming, and he is hitting. He's releasing arrows. But he been shooting little ones at first. He was shooting little ones, but you wouldn't get no attention, see? He was shooting them right by you. I remember one time I was shooting a bow hunt. And I remember I had a crossbow. Bro, Stroud won't go hunting with me because Sister Stroud threatened that if he did, he would never come home. She run that house. Bro, Stroud should have went hunting with me. But anyway, I aimed that crossbow, Kai, at this. It was a good looking doe too. Boy, I knew y'all finna eat me some deer sausage. And it went right over her head and went. Throw her back to eating. See, I didn't kill her, but it was close. See, some of you God ain't took out yet. But you hear the arrow when it come, and you're doing this. What is going to take for you to see that you're riding on mercy and grace every day of your life? Amen. Don't you know God can send the arrow right through the heart? He said, well, that's how he said it. And then Jeremiah says in verse number 14, I was a derision
to all my people and their song and their all the song. Day.
People make fun of, you know, folk will look through you going and say, man, he ought to be through that by now. You ought to be over that. You ought to be done. Man, let me tell you something. Folk will make fun of you. Folk will talk about you. You can't worry about what people think or say. You got to know your heart is in the right place, and you got to deal with your situation your way, because there are some people looking at you, they're going to call it nothing but a joke or fake or somebody trying to get some attention. He said they made fun. And I mentioned that this is in the Bible, how folk can look at somebody alive. Be careful how you look at other people and make judgments about what they're doing or how they're handling the situation. Who are you? Nothing but derision. Just wait, though, when he released the arrow on you. Your time is coming. You reap what you sow. And he says, he had filled me with bitterness.
He had made me drunken with wormwood.
Well, he said, man, God, he said, I feel like I'm bitter over all this. So why me? Why I'm going through this? Why my family? Why? He said, he made me drunken. Wormwood was a bitter plant that you found out in wastelands. He said, man, I got to drink this bitter cup. Why I got to drink from a wormwood plant all the time, bitter stuff. He had filled me with bitterness. He made me drunken with the wormwood, too much of it. He had also broken my teeth and get with gravel or stones.
He covered me with ashes.
Sometimes you feel like you've been beat down into the mud. He had removed my soul. Now he's starting to talk about the inner man. Now here's where it comes. He had removed my soul far off from peace.
I forgot prosperity.
You no longer have a peace of mind. You even feel like you're not prosperous in life, but you forgot. See, that's coming in a minute. See, you feel like you're not prospering, yet God is still waking you up. God is still giving you his water. He give you air. He give you life. He gave you a job. You just greedy. You're greedy. Because where's your situation? You feel like I'm far from peace. When you saved and you know God, you ought to be at peace where you ain't got whether you got a dollar in your account or not. Far from prosperity because your mind was on other things. Well, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and these things. But you seek the things and then kingdom. Wrong order, my friends. Wrong order. He said, now I said, here's what we're getting at. Now he's starting to change his view. There was a man. One time that was driving home from work, and he was calming down, you know, winding down. You know how it is when you're going, you had a long day, right, Alan? You wind down out there running that board, and that chemical plant was going to blow up on you. You made it through. You're on your way home trying to wind down. And here comes this crazy guy in a red Mustang and ran him all off the road and stuff. He just got all upset at him. And then the man got upset, got very upset. Then finally he got home, and his wife come running outside. And she said, what is wrong with you? He said, well, they got this crazy rascal. He just ran me off the road. She said, but here's something else you need to know. Our son is in the emergency room right now. Our son is in the emergency room. So they go to the emergency room, and sure enough, the doors of the emergency room open, and they walk in, and he walks into the emergency room. Once you get inside of it, they see through the glass that the ER, the nurses and doctors are working on his son, trying to resuscitate his mom. They're trying to get in there to him. They say, you can't go in now. We're trying to save him. We're trying to save your son. We're trying to save him. And they get in there. Finally, they waited, and then the doctor came out, and he said, he's going to be okay. Is he going to be okay? And they say, they told him, yeah, he's fine. We got him stable. He's going to be all right. She said, oh, thank you, doctor. He said, don't thank me. He said, go outside and thank that man outside. He said, outside? Yeah, he's sitting outside in his car. And so the man who ran off the road, the father of the son and the mother of the son, goes out to thank the gentleman who the doctor said thank. And they got outside the door, and the man was in a red Mustang with his head down on the steering wheel. And the father realized it's the same man. It's the one that I was angry at, the one who ran me off the street, the irresponsible, the rude individual who cared not about others' lives and ran me in the ditch. It's that man. Huh. And he immediately had what they call a paradigm shift, where he no longer seen him as that kind of a man. He seen him as a man who risked his life and others to save his son. You see how he went from angry to compassion. See how the view changed, and he didn't pray. Now folks say, well, I'll hear what you're saying, Brother Brooke. I need to pray about it. There are some views that can change without you praying. You don't have to pray about everything. Something you just changed. And that's what's going on. He's going to have a paradigm shift. Here he go. I said, my strength, my hope is perished
from the Lord.
Then he said, remembering
my affliction and my misery.
He looked like there was no hope. I'm thinking about my affliction. I'm thinking about my misery. I'm thinking about the wormwood and the gall. He said, my hope, my soul. Here he goes talking about now. He's starting to change. He said, but my soul.
Had them still in remembrance.
My soul is have them still in remembrance and is humble
in me.
See what he's saying? When I think about everything I went through and how God brought me through it. My soul is humble. And maybe you come this morning for this lesson to remind you it ain't as bad as you think. Maybe God is just trying to get you to humble yourself a little. You humble yourself. You may have come this morning and you need to be reminded that the wormwood water, we got to drink the wormwood. You got to drink it. But you got to understand that it's to humble us. My soul, what needs to be saved is humble now. And then he says in verse 21, there's a recall, something to call to remind again. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that life can be so tough, but you got to go back and remind yourself of something. It is of the Lord's mercies, he said. Let remind yourself, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not totally consumed. It's God's mercy, because you're still living. You haven't been consumed. You have not been consumed. It's because of God's mercies and because his compassion never failed. That's my sermon title right there. Here's why you can have hope. Here's what you need to recall, that yeah, you're going through something, but you're still living. You still waking up. You still got air to breathe. You still got water to drink. You still got a God who loves you. A God who sent his son for you. A God who's giving you another chance because you woke up this morning. You didn't die in your sins.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Then you say, you start saying, thank God for mercy. That's what you start saying. Once you realize and you come to your senses, you shift, you stop looking at the negative. You say, thank God for mercy. Yeah. It is God who's having mercy on us, y'all. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't deserve to be living. Some of us know we have been deep in sin. But God gave us grace. He gave us mercy. He gave us loving kindness. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us second chances. And sometimes we got to be reminded, or you'll keep your head down. What is Brother Brooks trying to say? Every day you wake up, look at verse 23.
They are new every morning.
Look, y'all, look. God is saying, I gave you mercy this morning when you woke up. It wasn't the one from yesterday. It was brand spanking new. Why? Because yesterday is the past. And I decided today to let you have this day. And it's a new mercy for you. And he said, they're new every morning. And I'm going to be faithful. Jeremiah said, great is it faith. See, Jeremiah started coming to his senses. Every morning I wake up, God has been good to me, Tommy. I know I've expressed all this grim stuff, but I'm humble now. I see what my blessing is. He leaves us up to me to humble myself and start seeing the beauty of being a child of God. Jeremiah said, my soul, God is still watching over us. No matter what we're going through, his compassions have not failed. And he's saying, now you got to humbly accept it. Now in closing verse number 24. Therefore, he said, the Lord is my portion.
Portion, saith my soul.
Now he's starting to give credit all to God. See how he's going? He's giving God all the credit. He's not blaming him. He said, I realize something. God is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. If God is your portion, if God is your hope, you know the Lord. Compassion will not fail you. You know that. You know God is good, not just what? Sometime, but God is good, what? All the time. And sometimes we have to be reminded. He said, Brother Brooks, you too, every one of us. Life can get so tough, you got to remind, man, God is still good. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. No, it's verse number 23. It is good that a man both should hope
and quietly wait.
Two things, hope and quietly wait.
For the salvation of the Lord.
For the saving of God. See, sometimes we get ourselves in situations. We figure out how to do it our way. And it don't get no better because you don't went into your will. See, you'll start going back doing some illegal stuff because that's you trying to get yourself out. But your hope is in God. See, he's saying this. Look at what he was saying. He said, now here's what he said. That a man should both hope and how? Quietly. That means you must be more praying than talking. Wait for the saving of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Don't forget where you came from. Understand, some of the stuff you're getting into, you buried it because you messed up when you was a young person. He sit it alone and keep it silent because he had mourning upon him. Then he said he put his mouth in the dust. He's like, I'm eating dirt now. Like, you know, you start feeling like you less than a man, or you less than, you worse off than everybody else. It's like being behind somebody who's kicking up dust and you just eating it. That's you. You put yourself in a dirty situation. You making it seem like that. When God is saying, I didn't do that to you. I give you hope. No matter how tough life is, you should see glory in being my child. God's children don't eat dust. We don't eat dirt. And he said, he put it in my mouth, in his mouth, in the dust. If so be there, be hope. Sometimes God let us feel the dirt. But in our minds, we still have hope because we serve God. How many of you found yourself down again, hitting rock bottom? I say, look up. The reason you're down because you're looking down. You can't get up looking down. You got to look up to get up. No. Somebody needs to look up this morning and get up. Amen. Quit complaining. Quit blaming everybody else. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming the world. And start get your head up, man. You can do it. I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us? We serve a God who on the cattle's on 1,000 hills. We serve a God who the Nahum said the clouds are the dust of his feet. We serve a God who hung the moon on nothing. The sun on nothing. The stars obey him. The clouds are like a sheet on a bed. You looking down, you stay down. But when you look up, you sing a song. How great,
yes, sir,
thou art. How great thou art.
Yes.
The great I am.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about. Look up at him. When you look up at the great I am, you know God is able. And he said, he the Lord will not cast off forever. In other words, there's going to be a day. Jeremiah is saying that God is going to say, okay, Tommy, it's time to come home.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's a rest, y'all. But though he calls grief,
yet will he have compassion.
There it is. Now watch what it says.
According to the multitude of his
mercies. He don't deny that God allowed that stuff to come into your life, but he says that he, just like he allowed it, he will have compassion according to the multitude. You know, multitude of his what? Mercies. Boy,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I thank God for grace.
Yeah.
I thank God for mercy.
Mm.
Yes, God, you send some pain to me.
Mm.
Lord, you send grief. You send trials. You send tribulations to us. But I know this, that I have a Savior.
Yeah.
And I speak to the world today, that we have a Savior who stands by the right hand of the Father.
Yes, sir.
Sits on the right hand of the Father. And he says, come to me.
Oh.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden.
Oh.
And I'll give you rest.
Yes,
take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. You know why we're here? It's not because we're not going to have God to take away the physical. No, that's going to happen. Our peace comes from within. That all is well with my soul. All is well with my soul. And I thank God that this morning that he loved me so much that he gave his son.
Yes, he did.
That his son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven's glory, lived among men, yet without sin. They would take him and beat him with a whip, crown thorns on his head, tree on his back, lead him up a hill called Calvary. And on that hill of Calvary, our Lord would experience the trial, the tribulation, the pain, the travail of the cross. And on the cross, he would go through the pains because he go through pain. He would shed blood. He would shed the blood that washed our sins away. When he died on the cross, they pierced him in the side. Out came the blood and out came water. That was grace on the cross. That was mercy on the cross. And he took mercy down. He took grace down. Buried him in a borrowed tomb. But grace got up with power. This is grace preaching right here. He got up with power. And he said, go in the world and preach it. Preach the cross.
Yeah.
Tell them I died according to the scripture. But tell them how I died. Tell them they drove nails in my hand, in my feet. Tell them I felt the pain. But all is well with my soul.
Yes.
I felt the pain. They took him down, buried him, got up. And that command is a give it. And I'm preaching that gospel to you this morning. My question is, do you believe it? Acts 15:7 say you hear the word of the gospel and believe. You have to hear and you have to believe. You have to repent. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to lament. You can come up and give God some glory. Give him glory for waking you up. Give him glory for having water, drink, and your wife is okay and your children are still living. You better start thanking God.
Amen.
Because when you stop thanking him, he got the arrow pulled. Who gonna come this morning? Who should come, brother? Those who are not ashamed to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
Those who've heard, those who believe, those who don't want to leave like you can, willing to make that confession, then we'll baptize you. Why? It's commanded by the Lord.
That's right.
Baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38 for remission of sins. Baptism where you contact the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5. Because in baptism you receive the Spirit of God. And that Spirit don't make you foam at the mouth and flop around on the floor. That Spirit is given to us to make intercession for us. So when we pray, He utters that we cannot get through without God, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord then will add you to the true church, the only church in the Bible. You don't like what I just said. I'm going to say it twice then. The true church, the only church in the Bible. Acts 2:47, the Bible says, the Lord asked to the church daily such as should be saved. Paul told them, Romans 16:60, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's the church in the Bible. And that's the one I'm going to preach about.
Amen.
That's the one I'm going to tell you about. I'm going to tell you about the one God who gave His Son, the one Son who gave His life, the one Holy Spirit who you need. The one baptism is in water. The one body is the church. And the one hope is heaven. Mm-hmm. When you get all those lined up, all you can know is this. The only reason you woke up this morning is because of the grace and mercy of God.
Amen.
His compassion fails not. God hadn't failed you. You failed Him. Won't you repent today? Won't you come? We have a song of encouragement. We want those who need prayer. We want you to come. Those who need prayer right now, we want you to come. Those who want to restore, come back to God and start looking up. Come back to God. Ask Him to forgive you. Repent of your sins. Confess your fault. Come home. And those who need to get baptized, we want you to come straight to the front. Come down here today. The Lord will wash away your sins in baptism. Add you to the church. You will be at peace with your soul. You can say, Lord.